From Lake Superior to Lake Minnetonka and the rest of the land of sky blue waters, we are Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. Wally and Eric back for yet another week as we slice and dice the always busy, always cluttered, always topical Twin Cities sports scene. And for the first time in our regime or anybody's regime in this market, we're talking about a team that has won the lottery. The Minnesota Timberwolves. How about those ping pong balls on Tuesday night?
Well, you'd think you'd won the lottery when the Timberwolves someday actually make the playoffs. That's the same thing, winning the lottery for the Wolves. But you're right. It's unbelievable. How long have we talked about the bad luck that they've had? And you and I were even talking, what, the day of or the day before the lottery, to say we're figuring out, well, they'll probably finish fourth. They'll get that number four pick. Which the Knicks got. I thought for sure it was going to be rigged and the Knicks were going to end up.
Yeah, we can debunk all those conspiracy theories because the Lakers and Knicks were in it. And Minnesota finished above those two major market teams.
Imagine that. Although the Lakers do get the number two pick.
Yeah, they're sitting pretty good. They're waiting for Minnesota to goof it up.
Exactly. Where is Flip Saunders going to go and how is it going to be get screwed up? That's the question. What's going to happen? First of all, let me get this out of the way. Let's hope it's not another Len Bias situation.
Oh, wow. You had to go there. All I was going to say was let's hope it's not another Ryan Leaf, Peyton Manning. where it appears, you know, it's early in the process here, and I'm sure Flip will have a poker face and Milt Newton, and there'll be a smoke screen that you know how these guys operate.
Oh, yeah.
But they won't tip their hand, and they shouldn't, really. I wouldn't either, but it sounds like it's Carl Anthony Towns and Jahlil Okafor. You know, the kid from Kentucky, the kid from Duke is probably either one of those guys that they're gonna choose. So now the great debate rages here in the Twin Cities. What should they do? Who should they pick? Now D'Angelo Russell, the point guard from Ohio State, he's very good too. I wonder if he piques their interest. But my gut feeling tells me they're gonna go with a big guy.
Yeah, they can't. They can't do that. I mean, as much as I like watching Russell play, I think they have to go either Towns or...
I just hope he's not the next Steph Curry.
Yeah, well. But, you know, you couldn't blame them. I mean, I couldn't blame the Timberwolves a couple of years ago for taking Derek Williams because I think he was really the consensus second-best player on the board. I think everybody agreed to that. He just has not matured into the kind of player everybody thought he was going to be or gone beyond. He kind of leveled off once he got out of college. That just never happened. I mean, he's an okay player. He's a nice role player, but he's certainly isn't worthy of being the number two pick in the NBA draft. Now, that being said, you know, some years the draft is deeper than others. I think that this is a deep draft. I don't think that they can go wrong.
That's the real key here. Did they win the lottery in a good year?
I think so.
And it appears that they have. And let's face it, they're going to now have the last three lotto picks, number one selections overall
right.
on their roster.
Right.
Because you go back to Anthony Bennett 2013,
yep.
and Andrew Wiggins 2014, both chosen by Cleveland but came here in that Kevin Love trade. And whoever they take on June 25th at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. So I think really that things are looking good. The stars might be aligned. The Wolves are trending up. They got a lot of national love this week from, you know, the ESPNs of the world and USA Today's covering this lottery and talking about Minnesota getting this choice. And I'm glad there's depth in the draft. So if they did take Okafor and he does well here and, you know, Town does well in Los Angeles with the Lakers, so be it. But, you know, I would think it takes a little bit of the pressure off the decision, but nonetheless, it's still a huge decision. They have to get it right.
Yeah, I have a feeling that Flip is leaning Okafor. I think that's kind of been on his radar for a long time, but who knows? Towns played so well in the NCAA tournament. I mean, he turned a lot of heads, and the Kentucky Wildcats were awfully good when he's on the floor.
Well, Okafor's team won the title, though.
Yeah, so, I know. I agree.
I think it's you get two different kind of big men. Sounds like Town is more of a perimeter guy. You can spread it out with him. He will allow Andrew Wiggins to create. Again, you're looking for a chip for Andrew Wiggins. You're looking for another superstar for a guy that you believe is going to blossom into one soon. And I think we all agree Andrew Wiggins is he's got a huge upside. Now, Okafor's more of an old school center, back to the basket, that kind of a guy, maybe a power game on the block.
So he's going to score for you right away.
Right.
He's going to give you 15, 16, 17 points a game and probably 8 to 10 rebounds a game.
You know, I think in the middle of the year when we were talking about this lottery and people were fantasizing about the Wolves maybe winning it, it was always Okafor's name that came up. Oh, you want to get Jahlil Okafor. And then, as you pointed out, Kentucky made that run and, you know, town gained a lot of traction. But, yeah, if I were to, you know, say who are they going to take right now, probably Okafor. But they're going to bring all these guys in, work them out, talk to them. And, you know, they're going to try to find out about their character. They'll interview people that they've played for, played against, maybe even the equipment guy at Duke and Kentucky, just to find out what kind of a kid they are. Because it's one thing to have the talent, but you've got to have a guy that, A, has passion, B, has an IQ for the game, and wants to get better. This is a huge thing here. Look, I can't say a guy's soft or not. All I know is either he's out there or he's not. And you and I saw a lot of Timberwolves, Shabazz Muhammad, Kevin Martin, Pekovic, Rubio, sitting on the bench in their street clothes more often than not.
Well, Pekovic, more than half of Pekovic Timberwolves' career has been sitting in street clothes
and
on the
Wolves.
And,
you know,
bench.
You look at Pekovic and you wonder how that guy could get hurt.
Yeah.
He's a beast.
Yeah, he's a monster out there. It's like Arnold Schwarzenegger in a jumpsuit out there. I mean, it's just unbelievable, and he's constantly hurt.
Yeah, so that's the one thing. Hopefully, you know, that they've gotten all the bad injury stuff out of their system. We'll find out.
I doubt it. As long as Wiggins and these young guys can stay healthy, I think, you know, they're still probably not going to be a playoff team this next season. But I think that, you know, with Garnett in the mix, if Garnett is around all season or the majority of the season and somewhat healthy, you know, it changes the formula. If they can stay healthy, I think that they could compete for a playoff spot. They can compete at the bottom of that list, you know, the 7 or 8 spot. Although the Spurs were the 7 this year, weren't
yeah.
they?
Yeah.
that's a pretty healthy 7 there. The West is just unbelievable. But still, that said, the future is definitely a lot brighter now than it was, you know, certainly a week ago, but go back a year. Go back 1 year when all the uncertainty with Kevin Love, are they going to be able to get value and they trade him away? What's going to happen with that? And, you know, I think that Flip has pushed all the right buttons so far. I mean, I think that clearly the trade has worked in the Wolves' favor. I'm not saying that it killed the Cavs because Love was key to them having a great second half. He, you know, another freak injury, as you mentioned. And even if Kevin Love walks, I think the Cavs are in a good position because that salary cap that comes off the salary cap, they'll go out and they'll just buy somebody else with the money, the room they have.
Yeah, they will. Although I'm sure they, you know, they see Andrew Wiggins and there's going to be a lot of woulda, coulda, shoulda in Cleveland. But if they get a championship this season or next year.
It won't matter.
Or the year after. No, it won't. Because in Cleveland, it's all about, you know, ending the hex.
They got to win one with LeBron.
Getting a title. Right. So I think it's worked out really for both parties. And that's what you want. And whether or not Kevin Love stays in Cleveland, we'll see. That's, you know, stay tuned. TBD, to be determined. There may be some, you know, openings for the Wolves to move up while somebody's moving down.
Some cracks in the armor?
Perhaps, but it is the West. And now you have to wonder, okay, the L.A. Lakers, they're going to get a good chip too. And you know free agency for them will be an option. So they may move up.
Yeah, I still think that the Wolves have way more pieces than the Lakers.
I agree.
I mean, you know, look at some of the guys the Lakers are starting. That lineup was not very good. That was not, even with Kobe in there, even with Kobe healthy. Kobe's going to play one more year, right? Isn't that kind of the consensus?
Yeah, and Kobe's definitely doesn't have a whole lot left either.
Yeah, well, he'll still score. I mean, he kind of reminds you, I mean, as much as he reminded you of Jordan at certain points of his career, I think he reminds me of Jordan now. When Jordan played with the Wizards at the end of his career, where he, you know he can score and you know he's going to take his shots. It's just a matter of if they can win with him doing that. And can they do that? And can they put a couple of pieces around him so that they can be at least respectable? Because they were not that this year. But they'll get the number 2 pick.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll turn that into something. And hopefully for the Lakers, they'll be able to turn around. But I think the Wolves are going to zoom past them. I think the Wolves are going to be in that 8 to 10 category this year. That's my guess. We'll see. it's a long ways to go, and there's plenty of things that can happen between now and October, that's for sure, before they, you know, hit the floor for training camp. But it's at the very least, Timberwolves fans should be excited.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think there's the prospect of them playing a brand of basketball that will lure you into Target Center or have you watching on the tube or whatever.
Exactly.
They are going to be so explosive, so athletic. Just think about a guy like Zach LaVine when the light bulb goes on. And I'm not knocking him. He's only 19.
Second team all rookie.
Right. He's so young. You know, he's getting by now on just his raw gift, his physical talent. Wait till he figures it out. Andrew Wiggins, I think, has a high NBA IQ already. Wait till he figures it out, though, because there's still a lot that's got to happen with him. He's got to fill out a little bit, a lot of things. And then Shabazz Muhammad, I really liked his game until he got hurt.
Yep.
I thought he was arcing up. So there's a lot of things out there that make me think, wow, it might be fun to go into the building and watch the Wolves. You add an Okafor or a Towns into that mix, and it could be really explosive.
Gorgie, KG, I mean, Rubio healthy. And you haven't even mentioned if they actually get Pekovic healthy.
Kevin Martin.
Did they keep Kevin Martin?
You know, you got to have some veterans on the team,
yeah.
I would think.
Well, especially at that position. You know, they really need somebody who can score. I mean, he is an NBA scorer.
Well, especially if you do have a lot of talent and you get a Kevin Martin on the floor and he's somebody that maybe they don't focus on as much as a Wiggins or some of your other guys, and he gets a lot of open looks because that's what he can do, sink the jumper.
Imagine this. We've spent an entire segment in May talking Timberwolves. When's the last time we did that?
2004.
You are correct. All right. Let's see. Rocky has been busy. We're going to hey, another big fishing weekend, Memorial weekend. I'm going to be on Leech Lake this weekend.
You're going way up north?
I'm on Leech Lake this weekend, yes.
Wow.
Yep. So.
On your yacht?
Yeah, on my yacht. Yeah, hardly. So tune in for the Al Moss tips for this weekend. I know I'll be listening carefully, writing things down. He tells me where to go and what to use on Leech. And then we're going to talk some St. Paul Saints, apparently. That's what Rocky says. He doesn't know who we're talking to, but we're going to talk some Saints later.
They have a new venue.
Yes, they do.
It opened up Thursday night.
Thursday night opening. And they're home all weekend, so I think I might check them out. We'll see.
Yeah, Twins are gone. They're in Chicago, but you can go to Target Field for the Big Ten baseball tournament or St. Paul for the Saints and Fargo-Moorhead.
Minnesota Score Radio, your Timberwolves lotto pick ticket.
From the land of sky blue waters, you're listening to Minnesota Score Radio on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
And we're back, Minnesota Score Radio, your Twins ticket. That's right, the Minnesota Twins begin the weekend in Chicago. 23-17. How about that? Six games above sea level. They swept Pittsburgh. A couple of impressive wins. Joe Mauer's bat woke up.
How about
that? He had a single that knocked in three runs, and then he had a game-winning home run Wednesday night. So
13th inning.
Yeah, he goes yard in the extra inning game. And
talk about winning the lottery. That's about how often Joe Mauer hits a home run.
Well, you're not kidding. And boy, but at least it was timely. That was a clutch home run. And it's funny because, you know, your buddy Pete Rose now works for Fox. Have you seen that?
No.
Their baseball studio crew.
Wow.
And apparently,
I'm
paraphrasing the New York Times. I didn't see it, but the New York Times reports that Pete Rose hit the ground running last week and was very opinionated, and they think he's going to be a little bit like Charles Barkley, but he said, Joe Mauer, go to the gym.
Wow.
So maybe Joe did go to the gym in Pittsburgh because he went deep.
Maybe he had some downtime on Wednesday afternoon or something. He went over and he hit the weights. Well, he went yard. So is that his first home run of the year?
It is.
Oh, Lord.
He's tied with Eddie Rosario.
God. Oh, and how many National League pitchers have more home runs than Joe Mauer?
Well, we know last year Madison Bumgarner had as many.
Like four.
And he only had, you know, quite a few.
40 at-bats.
Yeah, 48 at-bats. Yeah. But, you know, I got to tell you, I'm drinking this Twins Kool-Aid. I think they're for real.
I agree.
I think they're going to contend for a wild card spot. That's my honest-to-goodness take.
Well, if it ended today, they'd be in the second wild card.
I know. I like what they're doing. I'm really buying more into Paul Molitor. I think his approach is perfect for this team. And then As we talked about last week, he's got Torrey in the clubhouse if need be to stir things up with a little volume. But I just like, you know, Neil Allen apparently is doing some things with those pitchers. It's just a different approach. And
Bruno with the hitters?
Yeah, and he's a carryover from the Gardy days.
Yeah, Bruno was kind of forced on Gardy the last year. Not that he didn't want him or didn't like him, but that was a change that was...
But certainly Molly could have gone another direction if he wanted.
You're right.
But I just think, you know, they don't have anybody that's hitting 320, 330. They don't have a lot of high average guys.
No.
But they do have guys with pop. I mean, Brian Dozier, Trevor Plouffe.
Joe Mauer.
Torrey. Joe Mauer now. I mean, they got some guys who can hit the ball a long way. And they've been able to score some runs this season. But to go into Pittsburgh, I know the Pirates are below 500 now, and they're scuffling a bit. But still, anytime you can sweep a series on the road, albeit two games, they won the Tampa Bay series at home. They have the best home record in the American League. Those are all good signs to me. And the further you get above 500, you know, then you become a little bit more slump resistant. You can lose three in a row, and you're still over 500. I'm not saying there might not be another bad streak in this team, but I just think that they're for real.
Well, and they got a decent pitching performance again out of Pelfrey. And, you know, as up and down as he has been for the Twins a couple of years ago and even early on this year, he's bounced back. When he's had a bad outing, he's turned around and bounced back and had a good outing the next time out.
Well, and that bullpen on Wednesday night.
Oh, my goodness. They used everybody.
Right. They had to empty it out. And J.R. Graham, what did he throw, three innings?
Three innings. What, ninth? Eighth, ninth, and tenth? Or ninth, tenth?
That's old school relief pitching.
Ninth, tenth, and 11th.
Yeah.
No, so, that's great. That's, I guess, why you have 12 or 13 pitchers on your pitching staff. You know, that's the way it is, and you're able to do that, and then Dunsing comes in, and then they bring in Perkins to close it out, and Perkins has been good this year, too. Perkins hasn't had many opportunities
the
last
few years.
He's
tied for the American League lead with 14 saves, or at least he was as of midweek.
Yeah, he should be, the last time you looked, yeah.
Well, and then think about this, as you said, at this point in time, they'd be, what, a wild card team?
They would.
If the season ended now and you started tabbing the votes for manager of the year, Molly might get it.
Yeah, he'd be right
at
the top.
He's definitely in the running.
Yeah, he's right at the top. Would they be in the same spot with Gardy right now?
Wow, great
question.
You like
question. That question?
I'm going to say no, just because there have been some changes.
You know, slamming Gardy.
Coach. Well, no, I'm not. But I
thought I'd poke.
I just think maybe the fresh voices help. I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe they would be.
I don't know. I'm just.
What do you think?
I'm just poking the bear with the stick here.
I know you are.
Just trying to see what kind of reaction I could get out of you. You know, there's a couple of things that are really different. One is Torrey. Two is the pitching staff has solidified. And, God, Gardy just had no pitching staff. That starting staff has been a disaster for so long. But they're getting decent outings. You know, Kyle Gibson, outside of when he got bombed the other day. You were there to witness that disaster.
Saw that carnage.
He had been so good up until that point. I remember talking to you on Friday or Saturday. You said, oh, yeah, Gibson pitching on Sunday. I'm looking forward to that. I said, yeah, that'd be good. He just got shellacked. But he's been better for the most part. You know, they've gotten some decent outings, as we just talked about, from Pelfrey. Phil Hughes hasn't been what they had hoped up till now, but, you know, I think that he'll level off. I think he'll be okay. The starting staff, and we haven't even heard from Irvin Santana yet, and we won't for another, month and a half. So I think that that's the difference. Would they be as good with Gardy? I would say that they would be close. I think that Molitor's probably good for maybe two or three wins better than they would be with Gardy. I think they'd be at least 500 with Gardy. How's that for an answer?
So you're a Gardy guy. All right. Well, it's just a hypothetical.
Yeah, well, I know. It's kind of fun to poke the bear with a stick a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, how much of a difference has Paul Molitor been as far as just, you know, the way he calls a game and, you know, handles a pitching staff and handles the clubhouse? All I'm saying is I've heard good things about the way he approaches the players.
Sure.
He's not going to undress them publicly. He'll pull them aside privately and tries to keep things very positive. But, you know, I always thought Gardy was pretty positive. So it's not like I thought that he would.
They're just different.
Yeah, he was a little more outgoing. And
he wears that on his sleeve a lot more.
Right.
And anybody will tell you that. You can talk to any of the guys that have been around the Twins. Talk to a guy like Gladden, who's you know, been around Gardy for since he was a player. I mean, Gardy was the third base coach when Gladden was out in the outfield, out in left field. So, you know, he could tell you more about that than you and I could. But, you know, they're just different people. And right now you're right. I think Molitor has his approach is working, and he's got Torrey as his kind of his conduit, and so far so good. So let's just keep riding this thing as long as we can.
Yeah, so how about Paul Molitor, MLB or AL Manager of the Year, former U of M Gopher?
Yep.
How about Kevin McHale, NBA Coach of the Year, former U of M Gopher?
Okay.
Just throwing it out there.
Well, not bad.
These ex-Gophers seem to be doing well in the coaching ranks. And Flip Saunders is an ex-Gopher, and he won the lottery.
Hey, that's three. Who we got in the NHL?
Todd Richards, Columbus.
Todd Richards in Columbus.
He's not Coach of the Year.
He is not Coach of the Year.
But he is a coach. So you got four ex-Gophers going in a coaching. And Mark Trestman was one, but he didn't do too well in Chicago. He's now the OC for the Baltimore Ravens.
No, that didn't do too goes very well.
So, anyway,
your Twins with Chicago. And then Boston's in starting on Memorial Day, right?
Yes, you're right. And I think here's one thing I'm disappointed in. Twins attendance numbers. They were 25th out of 30 after their game against Tampa Bay on Sunday. That was a home game. They've had 20 home games. They're averaging, you know, 24, 25,000. Look, I realize they've had 4 years in a row of 90 or more losses. There's been an erosion. That's been expected.
Let me guess, the Indians are down in the bottom.
I didn't even look below the Twins, but I'm sure Cleveland is. But I'm disappointed because, A, the weather, by and large, has been good this spring. That has not been a crutch you can use. Oh, it's too cold to go. Or they haven't lost no games to rain.
It's been pretty good.
Or
snow.
And B, they have faced some good teams. I'm sorry. Detroit's worth watching. So is Kansas City, and so is Tampa Bay. If you follow baseball, Tampa Bay plays the game the right way. And so I know they butter their bread between Memorial Day and Labor Day when school's out and all that. I get it. But what I sense here is the fandom doesn't want to, you know,
they're not buying
drink
in.
The Kool-Aid because they're afraid their hearts are going to get broken. And that's fine. It might happen. But let me say this, and, you know, you and I have been always accused of being too critical of the Twins. I believe in them, A, but B, just have fun with it. Go out to the ballpark. You can get a cheap ticket now. Enjoy the ride because they are playing well, and it might not last. Enjoy the ride. And what if it continues? It's going to be fun if this continues.
Well, yeah, and enjoy it now. Because if it continues and they are in contention at the end of the season, the ticket prices are going to go
way up.
You
won't get in. You won't get in unless so, you want to fork out a lot of money.
Exactly. So go now while the price is right and while they're on, you know, a little bit of a roll.
I was at Sunday's game with my two young boys, Ben and Preston. We had pretty good seats to start out with. And, you know, there were rows of empty seats.
Oh, yeah.
And remember, they'd won the first two against Tampa. It
on
was 75
Sunday
degrees
afternoon.
Sunday. By the end of the game, now granted, it was a blowout, and it was raining in the last couple of innings. We were right behind the dugout of both teams.
I saw one of your pictures that you put up on the internet. You must have been Facebook or something. I thought you were in the dugout.
It was just unbelievable. So, yes, you're exactly right. If this keeps up, you won't have that option. So if you're a father or a mom out there and you want to take your kids to a baseball game, Target Field, now's your chance.
Yeah, you can StubHub. I'm guessing you could probably get a ticket for under $10. Go online.
Yeah.
I wonder how those guys are doing out front, those ticket scalpers.
They don't look too happy.
No, I don't think so.
But that could change.
Yeah.
So when do you think people start buying into the Twins then? Because I still get the sense that people aren't buying into them. That's my take on it.
If they get on a long winning streak that makes headlines, that's why.
Okay.
If they continue to kind of go along as they are, I still think that they're going to struggle to bring people in until about the 4th of July. And then people start getting a little more serious about it.
The funny thing is I think they have guys worth going out to see. Obviously, Torrey.
Completely agree with you.
Glenn Perkins.
Dozier.
Brian Dozier. I love his approach to the game. Kurt Suzuki. If you got a young kid playing baseball, that's a guy that you want him to emulate. Trevor Plouffe, I think, has been a positive. And you talked about Pelfrey and Phil Hughes and guys like that. But I think there are enough guys. I like Danny Santana.
Yeah.
He's fun to watch. He's exciting.
Yeah, he is. No, I think they have several guys like that. Darren Hicks. He's hitting around 300.
He's on the squad, yep.
Will he last? That's the question. Has he finally learned his lesson?
I hope so. You know, I sometimes
takes a few.
It's the school of hard knocks for some guys, you know. And maybe for Aaron Hicks, things came so naturally and so easily that he didn't realize what it took to stay in the major leagues.
What happens when Arcia comes back?
I don't know. Question for Paul Molitor.
Probably a question for...
Or Kenny Vargas is now down on the
Terry
farm.
Ryan, yeah. Vargas went down. You talked about the power they had in that lineup. A lot of it went down with Kenny Vargas. Although, I think what they did with Vargas was because they had a couple of off days, and they figured they're in a National League park for two of those days, so he's not going to play anyway, right? You're playing Maurer at first base. You're not going to have a DH.
Yeah, you go by the NL rules.
You're playing by National League rules, so you might as well, if you're going to... You know, if you're going to give away some days, let's give him some at-bats in the minors for, you know, a week or week and a half, and then bring him back after whenever you can bring. What do you get? He has to stay down for, what, 8, 7 days, it's 10 days?
Yeah, there's a minimum. You can't just run a shuttle.
Yeah. So, but that being the case, probably not a bad idea because he has come around. I think his May numbers are much better than his April numbers. His April numbers were a disaster, but I think he's come around. So you hate to see him give up on the guy. And I don't think they're giving up on him. But hopefully he will, you know, put up some numbers in the minors, and we'll be back up here soon.
Yeah, and I think he's the kind of guy when he eventually goes on a tear, that's going to be fun to watch if you're a Twins fan. Because it'll be one of those deals where all of a sudden he's got 5 home runs in 3 games or something. He's capable of it. We know that.
Once he figures it out, he's going to be a force. He's going to be like a David Ortiz. And I know that comparison has been drawn many times just because of his size and the style and the position he plays and all that stuff. But I think that there's some truth to it.
He embraces feeling. That. I mean, I talked to him in spring training about that in Florida, and he says, I'm okay with it. I like David Ortiz. That's a guy he emulates, looks up to. Yeah. I mean, David's from the Dominican, and Kenneth Vargas is from Puerto Rico. I mean, it's kind of a natural. I could see why he would. You know, look at David Ortiz as maybe his role model.
And you mentioned Trevor Plouffe, and Trevor Plouffe's pretty good. You know, they're gonna have a nice problem here soon when they decide that Sano is ready. Plouffe's probably in the prime of his career right now, and he's come around.
Well, that's why I think this thing's legitimately going up, because at some point Miguel Sano comes up, and at some point Byron Buxton comes, and that will sell tick, and that will make you a deeper baseball team.
And then, where, you know, does Sano become your first baseman? Then you stick Joe Mauer or what, in left field? I don't know.
Well, you know, it's something to think about. Some options. And Irvin Santana will be back sometime in July. You're adding what could be your ace.
Oh, you're right. Well, he'll be plenty well-rested.
He will be well-rested. He might be able to pitch on 3 days.
Yeah, you got an extra.
And I would think he will be eager to get on the mound.
Got now, an extra 3 months
it's
off.
It's Minnesota. Yeah, he'll hear some boos, but it won't be like Philadelphia or New York or Chicago or, you know, San Francisco or somewhere like that. And I think the thing is, if the Twins are still winning, then.
But he didn't know.
No, well, yeah, that's true. So we can't boo him then.
That's what he said.
But I honestly believe if the Twins are still winning, then, and people are starting to, you know, buy into the product.
It'll be like adding a great midseason
they
trade.
They won't care. Yeah. They'll just say, get on the mound and make up for the 80 games you missed.
Yep. Which, it's going to be like a great midseason trade. They don't have to make a deadline deal if this guy comes through.
No. You know, you miss 80, but he's a pitcher. So what's 5 into 80? 15, 16. Roughly 16. So he misses about 16 starts, which is a lot. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it is.
But he's out there waiting.
Dum-de-dum-dum. All right, we'll see. When we come back, we're gonna talk some more baseball. We'll talk some St. Paul Saints. Rocky is busy lining up a guest for you, and we'll have that. And then we've got a little bit later on, we'll hear from Al Moss. That and much more right here on Minnesota Score Radio, your Twins ticket.
Back to Minnesota Score Radio with Wally Langfellow and Eric Nelson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
All right, here at the christening of CHS Field in St. Paul, And who better to talk about this gem of a ballpark with than Charlie Walters, the shooter from the St. Paul Pioneer Press. I mean, you cover all the Minnesota sports, Charlie, but you are a St. Paul guy. What is this thing going to do for the capital city?
Well, it's we got plenty of things going on over here. You know, you got the Wild, of course, Eric and the colleges, and you're doing that St. Thomas thing, that football thing. See, this is as Garrison Keillor said years ago, Minneapolis is Wonder Bread, and St. Paul is Pumpernickel, and this is Pumpernickel. This is real. This is a really neat neighborhood ballpark. It's as good. I can't imagine a better ballpark for especially this level of baseball in America. It's a gorgeous thing. They got the guy, Larry DeVito, one of Larry DeVito's assistants, came over here and is, you know, grooms the field, set it up. And there's no more. There couldn't have better true hops and all that stuff. I was just sitting down in the dugout. It's a really neat place, and I imagine that you know, the fact you got all these, not a cloud in the sky, and it's a blue sky day. Adds to the whole thing. But, yeah, it's a great thing. I mean, here's indicative of what it's going to do. You got ticket. I walked over here about six, 7 blocks away. You got ticket scalpers out here for the game tonight, for the Saints game. And it's a neat deal for St. Paul. I know our newspapers covered it like it's a major league opening. And I see Minneapolis is covering it quite a bit, too. So the newspaper. So it's you know, it's just a neat deal. It's a lot of media here. And look at all the fans across. I was driving over that highway coming in, and you got a great view of the ballpark. It's a big deal. It's a happening. It's you know, the baseball isn't I was watching batting practice, not a lot of balls flying out of here, but that's beside the point. It is baseball. You got a great nutty owner in Vec. You know, I was talking to Vec a little while earlier, and it's like yeah, we're going back to having Bill Vec here. I mean, it's with all the nutty stuff he's doing. So and I got a little tip for you. I think tonight you're going to see a first for professional baseball. You're going to see a drone flying over this ballpark. So it's a neat deal for St. Paul. I mean, I had a park. You can't get a parking spot here within 6 blocks, and so that's kind of nice. People embrace their team. They embrace their newspaper. They embrace St. Paul things, and they'll embrace this too.
Well, like you said, it's independent league baseball, but it has a major league feel. I mean, it is a splendid ballpark, and you get the XL Energy Center that's been up and running since the year 2000. You got a lot going on in St. Paul, so this is going to help the pulse of the city.
Yeah, this is going to help the pulse of the city, and deservedly so. I mean, St. Paul's a really neat town, I saw in our paper the other day, we're up to, 300,000 people now living in the city, the census stuff. And it's just a neat place to be. Minneapolis is a great city. St. Paul's a great city for this kind of thing. You got the farmer market right around the corner. I mean, the whole deal is just neat. And it's funny because a lot of the guys who I talk to, hang around with, neighborhood guys, this is a neighborhood ballpark. And a lot of the neighborhood guys are all talking about the Saints. They want to know about the ballpark and how neat it is and all that. So it's all pluses, Eric.
Yeah, Lower Town, St. Paul. A couple more thoughts for the shooter, Charlie Walters, St. Paul Pioneer Press. Earlier in the day, I was at the Big Ten tournament in Minneapolis at Target Field, and then you can literally get on I-94 and come over here and watch the Saints and the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, and then the Twins will be back on Monday. I mean, this is a great baseball mecca, isn't it, the Twin Cities?
Yeah, you know, and I don't know what they're drawing over there. I was watching some of the box scores, Eric. John, a little bit more than 2,000 over here. You're going to have 7,000, 8,000 here tonight, and that Big Ten is really good baseball. They got five teams this year in the Big Ten ranked, and sometime during the season in the top 25. But you got this. Yeah, you're right. You can go over there in the beautiful ballpark. It's too bad the Gophers aren't in that thing. That's disappointing. That would affect attendance a lot more. But yeah, it's neat. It's baseball, buddy. Baseball. You love baseball. I played 7 years in these ballparks, seven minor league ballparks. This is kind of nostalgic.
And I bet you wish they were this nice. Before I let you go, Minnesota Twins. I mean, going into the weekend, 6 games above sea level. They're a hot baseball team. Are they for real?
Yeah, I think they are for real. They generally say, what's the axiom? 40 games and you know what you got. Well, Molly's pulling the right trigger so far. They surprised all of us. And they are fun to watch, too. I can't wait for them to get home against the Red Sox Monday, I think it is, and get out there and see them. Yeah, they're for real. It's fun that they've turned it around. The whole thing, this is just like the old days here. Saints, Minneapolis Twins, the whole thing. Molly's got them going, and we're all happy about that.
Spotlight's on St. Paul. Paul Molitor from St. Paul. Joe Maurer hit a home run. He's from St. Paul. We're in St. Paul at CHSP Field with St. Paul's very own Charlie Walters. Thanks, Shooter.
Yeah, thank you, Eric. Keep up the great work.
The Twin Cities home for Minnesota Score Radio is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Now back to Wally and Eric.
And we continue along on this Memorial Day weekend with the Leech Lake Fishing Report, and we are joined now here on Minnesota Score Radio by Al Moss, Hall of Fame fisherman up on Leech Lake. And Al, what do we got in store? I know you had a busy weekend last weekend on the lake. What's the bite look like for this weekend?
Well, it's amazing, Wally. Even with the hail, the snow, and the rain that we had 5 inches of rain. The lake came up about 7 inches, which really helped us out. Water temperature as I came off the water today was 55.7, so that's pretty decent. We are out of the hazard condition from the standpoint of landings as far as boats are concerned. As far as catching fish, we haven't had a bad day yet. We've been done at 12 o'clock noon just about every day with limits of walleyes and pike. So we can't say that the fishing is going to be bad. Expect if you're coming to Leech Lake, though, this weekend to see a lot of people. I think we figured we had pretty close to 1,000 boats on Leech Lake of over the 112,000 acres last weekend, but everybody caught fish. And this week, it's been really good all the way through it. We haven't had a problem. So if you're coming to catch walleyes, I would suggest that you use a jig in a minnow. Keep the jig as light as you can. Fish 6-pound test, 8-pound test, monofilament or braid. Use about a 3-foot length of fluorocarbon on the end of it. Tie the jig directly to it. I would suggest, if you can get a hold of it, stand-up jigs like from Northland or from Oddball, using anything with green on it. Green, Fire Tiger. We never changed all week. Green and chartreuse. And work them fairly slow early in the morning, then get more aggressive with the snap. Minnow of choice, I've been using both rainbows and shiners all week. They both work equally well. It seems like the shiner's better in the morning, and then by about 10 o'clock, we've been going over to the rainbows. The quality of fish we've had all week, we've kept fish from 14 to 19 and 3/4. Most of them are running around 15 to 17 inches. A lot of oversize. I had 8 oversize the other day, up to about 25 inches. I've heard of 27 inches caught, but there is a good bite on them. Northern pike are going to bite at the same time. If you're really into northern pike, keep that jig and minnow on. Make it flashy. Go into your weed beds, and you won't have any trouble catching your limit of pike. So, no, Wally, it looks really good for the weekend.
All right, Al, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about some locations that you might want to recommend. We're talking with Al Moss, the Hall of Fame fisherman, with our Leech Lake Fishing Report. Back with Al and more right after this timeout. Stay with us.
For a memorable experience this year with some of the best fishing you'll find anywhere, make plans for Agency Bay Lodge on beautiful Leech Lake. Agency Bay Lodge is uniquely located on a peninsula that juts out in the center of Leech Lake, where you'll have easy, quick access to the best fishing spots on the lake. The staff at Agency Bay Lodge will help you locate where the fish are biting. Their full-service dock offers fueling, bait, and modern fully equipped boat rentals. Come and stay in their comfortable lakeside log cabins, or if you're not fishing, stop and enjoy a pizza, sandwich, or a beverage at their lakefront bar. For the best fishing and a great vacation, remember Agency Bay Lodge on Leech Lake. For more information, visit them at www.agencybaylodge.com.
Attention fishermen! Sugar Point Resort is fishing central on legendary Leech Lake. Sugar Point has a large protected harbor offering full gas and bait services with a wide choice of rental boat and motor combinations or a slip for your own boat. Sugar Point is also a great place for your family vacation with 1, 2, or 3-bedroom fully furnished modern cabins with beautiful lake views. And they also have complete campground facilities at Sugar Point. Sugar Point is a great place for kids with 2 playground areas, paddle boats, basketball, volleyball, and an enclosed heated pool. So what are you waiting for? This summer, make it a trip to remember at Sugar Point Resort on Leech Lake. Visit them online at sugarpoint.com. We continue along with our Leech Lake Fishing Report. All right, Al, I'm going to be on the lake this weekend. I will be at Leech. Where should I go if I want to find the walleye? And actually, I like bass. And I know that Leech is predominantly known as a walleye lake and northern and so on. But where should I go if I do want to try and catch some bass on Leech?
Well, first of all, Wally, where are you staying?
Brindley's.
Okay, you're going to be right in the middle of it.
Yep.
Okay, you're right on the western end. You're at Brindley's, so you're going to go out of the harbor, you're going to take a left, and you're going to go up into Steamboat Bay, or you're going to go up into Sucker Bay. When you get there, the boys will tell you exactly, because I showed them where the bass are. You won't have any trouble. Catching the bass, go into the shallow water. We are extremely cold yet. We do not have emergent weeds. Hard to even see the wild rice beds. No rushes, reeds up. So you're going to need to know where to go. If you can find any kind of a cut, which you're going to see where you are going to, Wally. Fish spinner bait, very slow roll them. I would use a pig and a jig. I always do that because I want quality bass. Use black blue flick, and then put a trailer on it, a craw of some sort, whatever type that you want to use. We use the jungle jigs a lot out of Northland, and we also put on that a cameo craw. Work it very slow, flip every part of it you can, and you're fishing 4 foot, 3 foot. Go under docks, go muskrat houses, cut cattails, wherever it is. You're going to be surprised. They're just coming out of the harbors, Wally, and there are a lot of big bass. So you'll have a good weekend of that. If that doesn't go, go to spinnerbaits, and they're going to keep you active with pike, too, at the same time.
I bet. All right, Al, appreciate it. I'm looking forward to it. Let's hope for some good weather this weekend on Leech Lake.
Sounds good, Wally, and when you get to Brindley's, give, Greg and the boys trouble.
I will.
Where to go.
Oh, believe me, they're going to get their hands full with me and my son there this weekend.
Tim and Greg, good guys, Mike, the whole bunch. They'll tell you where to go because they know how to catch bass.
Oh, great. All right, thanks so much. That's Al Moss here with our weekly Leech Lake Fishing Report. Al will join us again next week. Eric and I will be back with more here on Minnesota Score Radio right after this timeout.
From the land of sky blue waters, you're listening to Minnesota Score Radio on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
So the St. Paul Saints, the latest professional sports franchise in the Twin Cities to get a new playpen. And it's very impressive.
Yeah, very nice. CHS Field. And they're all weekend long. They've got the Fargo Moorhead, what are they, the Red Hawks?
Red Hawks, yeah.
I understand tickets are relatively reasonable.
Well, good, and they should be. I mean, that's always been part of the draw for the St. Paul Saints. They were affordable. You know, that used to be that they were the anti-Twins in the sense they played outside, the Twins were stuck inside at the Metrodome. That's no longer the case. So they have to make sure they don't get up there in that Twins range when it comes to tickets, or what's the difference? Well, the difference is Major League to Independent League. So keep it fun. They will. You know Mike Vack. I mean, we saw Thursday. They had all the bells and whistles, but they still had the fun factor. And as long as there's that, I think they'll do okay. You know, we touched on it last week. There won't be the tailgating. It'll be a little different. But I think for them, you know, it's a great new home. And who knows, maybe down the road, and I do believe this will happen.
Yes, I know where you're
going.
They
will be
here.
Part of the Twins food chain. Maybe a single-A team.
They should be.
Yeah. For many reasons.
Have that either Class A affiliate or whatever. Is that Cedar Rapids right now?
Yeah. Yeah, they have two. You know, they have the Florida State League,
right.
Fort Myers Miracle, and then the Cedar Rapids Colonels.
It makes total sense to have that team in St. Paul. I know Cleveland does it. I know they have the Cleveland Captains, or the Lake Erie Captains.
Yep.
That's a Class A. And then Akron is their Double A, I think. And then their Triple A is Columbus now.
Really?
Yeah, Columbus, as you well know, was the Yankees forever.
Yeah, and they have a new ballpark in Columbus, right by, I think, Nationwide Arena.
See, you know more about the ballpark than you do about what's going on.
I do. I'm always a venue guy.
You're like my kid.
Yeah.
Boy, don't ask him to name a bunch of Wild players, but boy, he can tell you every stadium and
every arena that they play in.
And on the planet. He knows them all.
Well, I've always liked stadiums and arenas. I mean, the only reason I knew about Columbus is I was there a few years ago and I drove by it.
Oh, okay.
It's right next to, I think, Nationwide Arena where Todd Richards and the Blue Jackets play hockey.
Does Todd Richards still play?
In the morning skate he does.
Oh, okay. They won't have any morning
skates.
Well,
he's not playing right now. There's only four teams left in the National Hockey League.
How about that quintuple overtime or whatever?
Wow. Chicago. Yeah, longest game in Blackhawks history. Yeah. That's an original six team. That's saying something.
Yeah, it is. That's a long hockey game, baby. And the header didn't count.
That was a late-ending game, even on the West Coast
the left coast.
The Anaheim Ducks.
It ended at, about 11 o'clock in the West
Coast?
Wow.
Yeah, that Stanley Cup might only go about 35 miles down the freeway if the Ducks win it, from the Kings to the Ducks.
I got to tell you, though, I have tuned out since the Wild
checked
loss.
Out.
Yeah, I kind of checked out on that. I'm tuned into the Cavs. Tuned into the Cavs.
Well, you're seven wins away from your coveted crown, your parade.
At least. At
your
least.
Your confetti shower and your champagne bath. I don't want to jinx you, but what will happen if the Cavs do win it in Cleveland.
That'll be something. That's be the first crown since the Tribe in 48. I suppose the Browns 64. In 64. The Browns in 64.
The pre-Super Bowl.
Pre-Super Bowl.
Cleveland Browns.
Thanks for that reminder.
Don't shortchange our guy Paul Wiggin over there with the Minnesota Vikings in the scouting department, because he played on that team with Jim Brown. And he told me, I think it was at a Viking game last year, that they had a reunion because 2014 was the 50-year
right.
reunion of that title. They all met like in Steamboat Springs, Colorado, and went over the good old days. In fact, I jokingly said, well, now that LeBron's coming back, they may be raining on your parade.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. Speaking of teams that win championships and no other team in town does, your Lynx are in training camp getting ready. You excited? You fired up about another Lynx season?
Yeah. I mean, how can you not be? Because they're winners. They are winners.
You're right.
And I've said it once. I'll say it again. Maya Moore, to me, is the most complete athlete we have in this market when it comes to winning and talent. Show me somebody else who has a better resume. I don't think you can.
Pretty good.
So,
speaking of resumes, you know, we didn't mention in that first, early on in our show, that not only do the Wolves have the top pick, but it's going to be interesting to see how a couple of Minnesota kids fall.
Yeah, it's going to have a Minnesota flavor, the draft. You've got, obviously, Tyus Jones, who's Jahlil Okafor's teammate at Duke, and then
Rashad Vaughn,
who played at UNLV. I know you know him well, and so you talk about the Wolves being the number one pick overall, and then those two guys from Minnesota could be round one selections.
I'm hearing now that the latest has Tyus, towards the end of the first round, or actually Rashad Vaughn about 23 or 24. I'm surprised to see him at that height, because the last one I saw a couple months ago, Rashad Vaughn, they were figuring a second-round pick. But somebody must have told them differently, and now there are some services saying he's probably about 23 or 24. So it is a huge difference between getting picked in the first round and getting picked in the second round. First round's guaranteed money. It's almost assured you're going to make the club that you get picked by, especially if you're towards the end of that. Because
don't you get the minimum three-year deal, too?
You get the three-year deal.
Because I remember that was when a guy like Sam Jacobson, remember him?
Kevin Lynch.
Yeah. The whole thing was, You make your money in the second contract. If you can get to the second deal, then you can start making more money, because the NBA slotted it. They've done it right for a long time, where the NFL took them a long time to figure that out before they got a rookie salary cap or a rookie wage scale. But, you know, I remember when Devin George got picked out of Augsburg, L.A. Lakers. Can he get a second deal? Well, he did. He got a third deal. So,
he had a nice career.
When you're getting the escalating money.
Yeah, so you know, if Rashad gets picked in the first round, he'll get 3 years, whatever the minimum is these days. What is it? It's about $1 million, isn't it? It's right around $1 million.
Yeah. It's not bad.
Yeah, that'd be all right. And then, but if you fall into the second round, if you're picked number 31, things change drastically. Now you're going to have to beat out somebody who's got guaranteed money.
Right.
You better be a lot better than them.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's... There are not a lot of second-rounders that make it.
Yeah, anybody who watches the NBA draft into round two, you are a fanatic. You are hardcore, because very few of them stick and stay.
Yeah.
You know, I always think of Manu Ginobili. I believe he was a second-round pick for San Antonio, but it's really rare. And then if you're a free agent, wow, good luck.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, you're trying to beat out people that have guaranteed money. And so you better be a lot better than them. And it's just, you know, and with Rashad's history of injury last year at UNLV, I don't know. I hope for the best for him. And we'll see if we'll see where Tyus lands too. And Tyus kind of falls in that same category now. Is, you know, are people shying away from him because they don't think he can guard people in the NBA? Good question.
Well, I did have that conversation a few weeks ago with Gary Trent, whose son Gary Trent Jr., by the way, is
He played with Tyus.
The fourth-ranked kid in high school hoops elite magazine for the class of 2017 in the nation. So his son is very good. But I brought up Tyus. I said, is he ready to be a pro? He says, well, he's won at every level. He's never not won. And then he brought up Steph Curry and Mike Conley. He said, when both those guys came out, everybody said they're too small, they won't make it. Well, Conley, rumor has it's pretty good for Memphis. And I think Steph Curry, rumor has it, is very good for Golden State. I think MVP are before his name now.
Okay, and I'm going to go the opposite direction and just be the I'm just going to be the devil's advocate here. Khalid El-Amin won at every level.
Okay.
And did not cut it in the NBA. He was a late first-round pick by the Washington then Bullets and never really made it in the NBA. But we'll see. Hopefully Tyus will be different. Hopefully Tyus will be
different. Yeah, I hope so, too. He's an MOP, most outstanding player of the Final Four. Hey, look, I don't know anything, but I do know this. The Minnesota Timberwolves are on the clock.
Yes, they are. All right, with that, a reminder, visit our website. It's minnesotascore.com, home to the Minnesota Score magazine. You can subscribe right online, just $19.95.
All right.
For 1 year. Of the Minnesota Score.
Sounds good. We'll FedEx out those thank yous. One goes to Rocky, another to the folks in St. Paul with the Saints lining up a guest for us, and, of course, Al Moss for Wally Langfellow. I'm Eric Nelson saying so long. We are Minnesota Score Radio, your NBA lottery ticket.